Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O Supreme Lord, undoubtedly we are inhabitants of the most pious planets, the Jana, Tapas, and Satya Lokas. But still we have been purified by the drops of water sprinkled from your shoulder hairs by the shaking of your body. Please repeat after me. O Supreme Lord, undoubtedly we are inhabitants of the most pious planets, the Jana, Tapas, and Satya Lokas. But still we have been purified by the drops of water sprinkled from your shoulder hairs by the shaking of your body. Purport. Ordinarily, the body of a hog is considered impure. But one should not consider that the hog incarnation assumed by the Lord is also impure. That form of the Lord is the personified Vedas and is transcendental. The inhabitants of the Jana, Tapas, and Satya Lokas are the most pious persons in the material world. But because those planets are situated in the material world, there are so many material impurities there also. Therefore, when the drops of water from the tips of the Lord's shoulder hairs were sprinkled upon the bodies of the inhabitants of the higher planets, they felt purified. The Ganges water is pure because of its emanating from the toe of the Lord. And there is no difference between the water emanating from the toe and that from the tips of the hair of the shoulder of Lord Bo. They are both absolute and transcendental. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Tapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutan Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vashari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnupadaya, Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. Paschacha deshatarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It's my honor and privilege to be able to speak from Srimad Bhagavatam in the assembly of all the Vaishnavas present here, especially His Grace Yadubar Prabhu, and also all the Vaishnavas online. This is a delightful verse. In preparation for the class, I was reading it a few times, and the more I read it, the more I found a wonderful inspiration from it. So the verse is, O Supreme Lord, undoubtedly we are inhabitants of the most pious planets, the Jana, Tapas and Satyalokas, but still we have been purified by the drops of water sprinkled from your shoulder hairs by the shaking of your body. So Lord Varaha had performed this amazing, heroic pastime of rescuing the earth, which had fallen down to the bottom of the Garbha ocean. Now, just to give some context of how heroic this is, it is nice just to reflect on a few points. The first point in relation to the Lord now appearing in front of the residents of the Janas, Tapas and Satyaloka planets. These are the highest planets, right at the top of the universe. It is said that the distance from the top of the universe to the bottom of the universe is 500 million yojanas. It is described that the universe is like an egg-shaped under. And at the bottom of the universe, we have the Garbha Ocean. And then above that, we have the 14 planetary systems. The lower planetary systems and the higher. So the ocean at the bottom of the egg is described to be 10,000 yojanas deep. Now, one yojana is 8 miles, or about 12.8 kilometers. So if you do the math, the earthly planet has fell down the Garbha Ocean to a depth of 128,000 kilometers. Now, what is the deepest part of the ocean on earthly planet? Anyone knows? The Mariana Trench. Any idea how deep that is? The Mariana Trench, which is the deepest part of the ocean on earthly planet, is 10,925 meters. The pressure, the water pressure, at that point of the ocean is so immense. Because water is force, isn't it? And the deeper you go, the higher the force, the pressure. It's just unfathomable. So here we have earthly planet. By the mining activities of Hiranyaksha and his cohorts, upsetting the stability of the earth, and the earth falls right down 128,000 kilometers to the bottom. And Bhumi Devi, he's distressed. She's calling out, oh Prabhu, please help me, save me. And from the nostril of Lord Brahma, he miraculously, the Lord appears. And he dives. Imagine diving 128,000 kilometers. How heroic is that? The Lord dives right to the bottom and he lifts Bhumi Devi in his tusks and he comes up. And when he comes up, for the Lord to be visible to the inhabitants of the Janas, Tapas and Satyaloka, how immense the Lord must be. It's unfathomable. So the Lord appears, and in an earlier verse, it is said, the Lord acts wonderfully. This is all play for the Lord. It's Leela. You know, it's not like he just come out of this fantastic fight. He's experienced this fantastic fight with Hiranyaksha. He's defeated him. And because it's play, that playful fight, the Lord has come up all jubilant and happy. And he's got Bhumi Devi in his tusks. And yet the residents see him. So 500 million yojanas, one can imagine, you know, how high that is, how big the form of the Lord is. And as it is said earlier, the Lord taking on the form of a boar, he acts in that leela. When he was looking for Bhumi Devi, he was sniffing around. Where is her? He sniffed and then he sniffed out. And in the same way, in that mood of being a boar, you see often animals, when they get wet, they want to dry out. You know, we have gumshas and towels, but the animals don't have gumshas and towels. So when they want to dry themselves, what they do? They give themselves a good old shake, you know? Good old shake, and then water goes flying everywhere. You know? Some of us who have experience with dogs and other animals, we may have some experience of this little pastime. So in the same mood, Lord Varahadev, in the same mood, he's been in this ocean diving 128,000 kilometers. His whole body is wet and the water is clinging to the hairs on his transcendental body. And he feels, in his playful mood, I need a good shake also. But the Lord, he never does anything whimsically. Everything is done with full focus and attention. And it is said Krishna, he's expert. He can achieve many purposes with one action. That is a definition of one who is expert. So he does the shake and he sends water flying everywhere. And here are these residents of Janaloka and Tapaloka and Satyaloka, you know, the most pious, pure personalities in this universe, they get sprinkled with this water and they feel ecstasy. So, you know, when we read the verses and we read the prayers, these are the prayers. It's very nice to see, you know, what qualities of the Lord the devotees who are offering the prayers are focusing on. Because it's interesting, I want to read one verse from the 10th canto. And then the purport from there. This is from the 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse number 7. This is Lord Brahma speaking. And Lord Brahma says, in time, learned philosophers or scientists might be able to count all the atoms of the earth, the particles of snow, or perhaps even the shining molecules radiating from the sun, the stars, and other luminaries. But among these learned men, who could possibly count the unlimited transcendental qualities possessed by you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who have descended onto the service of the earth for the benefit of all living entities. So Lord Brahma here, he's glorifying Krishna's qualities. And he's saying, your qualities are unlimited. You can't count them. And just to give us a perspective on unlimited, what it means, he says, yes, you know, sometimes some great person, they may be able to count all of the atoms on the earth. Or they may be able to count how many particles of snow there are. Or how many shiny molecules are coming from the sun. Or how many stars and other luminaries are there. But you can never, ever be able to count the qualities of the Supreme Lord. And in the purport given by Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they quote Srila Sanatana Goswami, a very nice statement. And they say that Srila Sanatana Goswami further explains that the Lord manifests a specific spiritual quality for the benefit of each living entity. Since there are innumerable living entities within the confines of the material creation, the Lord manifests infinite qualities. Thus, every conditioned soul can appreciate the Supreme Lord in a particular way. Isn't that amazing? That Krishna manifests a particular quality for every one of us, a specific quality. And how many atmas are there in the creation? Unlimited. When I read that, I was thinking, ooh, how nice will that be there, that day when I discover which particular quality Krishna has manifested for me. So yeah, the residents of Janaloka, Tapaloka and Satyaloka, they are focusing on a particular quality of the Lord. You all caught that quality? Who caught it? What was the quality they focused on? Yeah. In the verse. Sorry, Prabhu. Mercy. That was like an indirect, I'll speak about indirect, but there's a very particular quality, and it's the last word of this verse. Pavitaha, purified. The Lord is the supreme purifier. So these residents, it is said they are practically sinless, the most pious. But they are still considering the Lord purified. Now, I want to quickly reference Nectar of Devotion. Now, in Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami, he lists 64 qualities of Krishna. And the 21st quality he lists of Krishna is, Krishna is pure. And Srila Rupa Goswami, very beautifully in the Nectar of Devotion, you know, this is the complete science of devotion. And whenever Srila Rupa Goswami makes any statement, he backs it up with some shastric evidence. Therefore, when we read Nectar of Devotion, and we reflect on how Srila Rupa Goswami has written Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's amazing. He's written this, the complete science of devotion, and for every statement he makes, it backs it up with a quotation, with no Google, no Veda base, you know, no stacks of books for his reference. He just knows it. How brilliant Srila Rupa Goswami must be to do that. So Srila Rupa Goswami, he writes, there are two kinds of supreme purity. When one type is possessed, one is able to deliver a sinful person. When the other type is possessed, one does not do anything that is impure. A person who possesses either of these qualities is called supremely pure. Krishna is both. He can deliver all sinful conditioned souls, and at the same time, he never does anything by which he can become contaminated. So this is the nature of Krishna. He is supremely pure. So the water that touches the body of Krishna and the water that emanates from the body of Krishna is also pure. And if anyone who comes in contact with these substances, they also become purified. I wanted to read, I hope I can find it quickly. There is, in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami talks about, he lists 64 items. Is it 64? I think so. 64 items that consist of pure devotional service. And one of the items he lists is drinking charanamrit. Charana means feet, and amrita means nectar. So charanamrita means the nectar which is emanating from the lotus feet of the Lord. And he writes, charanamrita is obtained in the morning, this is Prabhupada now writing, while the Lord is being washed before dressing. Scented with perfumes and flowers, the water comes gliding down through his lotus feet and is collected and mixed with yogurt. In this way, this charanamrita not only becomes very tastefully flavored, but also has tremendous spiritual value. As described in the Padma Purana, so listen to this carefully. You know, sometimes we have the tendency to take things for granted in our spiritual practices. You know, and often the act of every morning receiving the charanamrita and drinking it becomes almost routine. We don't, when we take the charanamrita, really feel, you know, Radhanath Swami used to say, gratitude is the condition of the heart in which bhakti grows. So when we take the charanamrita with a mood of gratitude, the whole experience becomes different. So just listen, dear devotees, in the Padma Purana, what it says about taking charanamrita. Even a person who has never been able to give in charity, who has never been able to perform a great sacrifice, who has never been able to study the Vedas, who has never been able to worship the Lord, or in other words, even one who has never done any pious activities, will become eligible to enter into the kingdom of God if he simply drinks the charanamrita that is kept in the temple. How amazing. And we take it for granted. All of these benefits, these great personalities, they were receiving the charanamrita and they were feeling so bliss and they were chanting this, they chanted this amazing verse. And we get to have charanamrita every day. And Prabhupada says here, the devotees who come to visit and offer respects to the deity take 3 drops of charanamrita very submissively and feel themselves happy in transcendental bliss. How many of us, when we take the charanamrita, we feel ourselves in transcendental bliss? Maybe because we take it too much for granted. And then, I hope I can find this. you know, Srila Sanatan Goswami, in his Hari Bhakti Vilas, he has written and he's given some beautiful quotations on the benefits of Charanamrita. Another experience we have every day is to the Lord and Srila Prabhupada, water is placed in the conch shell and offered to the Lord. And after that, that water is sprinkled upon us. Sometimes the devotees come and sprinkle it, it comes on our face, and they pour too much on our head, and they get angry with the devotee. You know, put a little bit, you know, and why on my face? You know, we get a bit upset sometimes. You know, does that happen to you sometimes? But the mercy and the benefit we're getting is just unbelievable. So listen to this. Just listen to this. And this, Sanatan Goswami quotes from the Skanda Purana. And this is a conversation between Brahma and Narad Muni. The water which is within the conch shell, which is circled around the head of Lord Sri Keshava, if anyone puts such water on his head, what is the need for him to go take bath in the Ganges? Another verse from the Skanda Purana, 9, 5 and 6. The water within the conch shell, if it is seen by the Supreme Lord Krishna, if it is touched to one's head, he becomes free from the fear of punishment. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. The water within the conch shell, if it is seen by the Supreme Lord Krishna, if it is touched to one's head, he becomes free from the fear of punishment, distress, degradation, and fire, bad planets, black magic, snakes, devils. We don't need to go to any tantric. They run away in 10 directions when they find that he has a drop of water on his head from the conch shell which is offered to Lord Sri Krishna. One more I'll say. There's a whole list, beautiful verses from Hari Bhakti Vilas. Any person who has drunk the water which has bathed Shaligram Shila, what is the need for him to drink thousands and thousands of Panchagavya? Panchagavya is made up of the 5 auspicious products of a cow and is supremely auspicious if you drink that. So this, what is the need of anyone to drink Panchagavya if you can, you know, it's like you've drunk this 1,000 times just by taking the Charanamrita. So these are all amazing things that sometimes we take for granted. That is, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, he made it part of our daily program. We can get Charanamrita, we get the water on our heads. How beautiful is that? These sages, they are appreciating this. They are appreciating this. So the next point I wanted to speak about of this verse, which, you know, is sort of a standout point, is Krishna's mercy. Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, in one class in October 26, 1975 in Nairobi, he was speaking on a verse, verse number 17, 28th chapter of the third canto. Apichya dharshanam shashvat sarvaloka namaskritam shantam vayashi kaishorye prihit yanugraha kataram. And the translation, the Lord is eternally very beautiful and he is worshipable by all of the inhabitants of every planet. He is ever youthful and always eager to bestow his blessings upon his devotee. So this verse, and Prabhupada says, in this lecture. He says, just like the Father wants to favor the Son always, Father wants that my Son may become very fit, competent to take all my favors. This is Father's wish. Every father, even in this material world, if Father is very big man, great man, he wants that my Son also let him become bigger than me. Is it not practical? If God Krishna is the original Father, Aham Bija Pradapita, Krishna says, it is not concoction or contemplation, it is fact. Krishna is saying, I am the seed-giving Father. And Prabhupada says, here is the word, Brit Ya Anugraha Kataram. And Prabhupada says, he is very, very eager to give us all his favors. And still, people are not becoming Krishna conscious. So it is the nature of the Lord, it's the nature of Krishna, that he always is looking at ways, looking for any excuse, looking for any opportunity to bestow favors upon the conditioned living entity. This is Krishna's very nature. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami, he's one of the qualities he's describes is Krishna is compassionate. And he says there, he writes there, a person is considered to be compassionate. A person who is unable to bear another's distress is called compassionate. So this is the nature of Krishna. His nature is that he cannot bear to see someone else in distress. And because this is an intrinsic part of Krishna's nature, that he cannot bear to see anybody in distress, he is always seeking out ways to bestow favors upon the distressed living entities. And therefore you see the great devotees, they always celebrate this particular quality of the Lord. Srila Rupa Goswami says, Namo Mahavadanyaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishna Ya Krishna Chaitanya, Nam Negora Tvishe Namaha. O Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are the most munificent incarnation. You are the most munificent incarnation because you have come to bestow what no other incarnation has bestowed. Can you think of another verse where a devotee has glorified this particular, in the Bhagavatam, has glorified this nature of Krishna? I thought of one. It's a very famous verse by Uddhava. Aho Baki. Where he says, Uddhava is talking to Vidura and he's feeling transcendental ecstasy, and suddenly he says, who can be more merciful than Lord Krishna? Because he gave the position of mother, he gave the position, the transcendental destination of Putana, who came to kill him. So again, we see again this particular pastime of Lord Varahadev. The Lord does not only try to favor, he's known as Patita Pavana, the savior of the most fallen. But here we get the most pious, the most elevated, you know. Like Janaloka and Tapaloka, it's made up of great sages and devotees who are performing austerities for millions of lifetimes and devotion. practically they are on the cusp of the spiritual world. Even those who are on Satya Loka, they are on the cusp of the spiritual world. But still Prabhupada says, even they, because by dint of them being in the material world, they have impurities. I had a boss, he had the saying, he used to tell me, if you wrestle with a pig, be certain you will get dirty. He used to use this phrase to tell us at work, you know, don't get into a quarrel. Don't get into a quarrel or get entrapped in an argument in your work dealings, because you'll get affected. So by dint of anyone being in this material world, they will be touched with impurities. And Prabhupada doesn't say touch. Prabhupada says here, so many material impurities are there also. In the least, the modes of nature are there. The modes of nature, it is explained in the Bhagavatam, the modes of nature are only given up when you go outside of the universe. I wanted to say a few more things, but maybe I'll pause here and I'll take any questions or comments that anyone may have. Yes, Jason Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the lovely class, very inspiring. I have a small question for you. The Prophet Muhammad, it said in there, literature that he went to the seventh heaven. Do you think it's a possibility that this Prophet Muhammad, he went to the Satya Loka? What do you think?
Difficult for me to comment on that. It's possible. Anything's possible. By the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of the devotees, anything is possible.
I'm just trying to put the picture together. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Every higher planetary system has hierarchies as well. It's not just one Svarga Loka, but they also have the grades. So in the case, seven heaven is also part of Svarga Loka, but a little bit up.
You mean the seven planetary?
They don't hierarchy themselves. Also.
Yeah, yeah.
Svarga Loka is a Satya Loka.
Yeah, so there are seven planets.
Between themselves, they have hierarchies as well. Svarga Loka is hierarchy as well.
Oh, Svarga Loka.
Yeah, yeah, and also higher planets. Not just one place, but just kind of slightly more towards, when it goes close towards next one, for example, between Maharalka and in Jhana Loka, this is all gradations, slight gradations. Same Svarga Loka is also gradations until reaches more higher, which is Mahaloka. So seven heaven could be just one of those.
Oh, within the heavenly planets.
Yeah, within the Svarga Loka.
Oh, that's an interesting thought. Yeah. Yes, Bhakta Jason.
Returning to that, it seems that if they have the realization that there are seven heavens, then it seems to fit. Does it not? Does it fit?
Sorry, just to add to that, I think even in Islam, they say that God is not in the seventh heaven; He's above the seven heavens, so He's outside of the. Just like in Vaikuntha, you know, he's outside of the seventh. He's beyond the seven heavens.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. That's in line with what we know. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, I would like to ask. You spoke about this. I don't know if it's not offensive to call Charamrita item, but items Charamrita and the water offered to Krishna, how much beneficial they are. So my question is, does our awareness about their benefits affect their benefits? Like, because you were mentioning that we should take it in very humble mood and so on. So also the Mahamantra vichens, but so you know it purifies, yes. But does our awareness affect this benefit?
I would say so. Like just in connection with the Mahamantra, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every year he would meet the residents of Kulinagram. And the first year they asked him, who is a devotee? And he said, anyone who chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is a devotee. And he means like we go to a street, people chant in the street, you know, they can be considered devotee. The second year they asked him the same question. And then he said, anyone who chants the holy name, without offense is a devotee, you know. And then finally, anyone who chants the holy name purely is a devotee. So the point being, yes, the consciousness in which one partakes in any activity affects the effect it has in one's consciousness, and thus also affects the benefit one gets. So one may ask, you know, a completely ordinary person comes and takes charanamrita, all right? And then a devotee comes and takes charanamrita. Do they both get the same benefit? In one sense, yes. But in another sense, no. Because when the first person who takes it without the consciousness of what he is receiving and the mood in what he's receiving, it has a certain impact on their consciousness. And then the second person who takes it in a different consciousness, that like takes him much higher. So to answer your question, I would say yes. You know, the mood in which one interacts with these different items, or appreciates, or takes these items, impacts the benefit in which one feels. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu?
Could you read some more of the glorifications of the water or Charitamrita? Please.
You want me to read more of the
glory? Yeah, they were very good.
Okay, maybe one or two, because time's moving on now, and Prasadam awaits the devotees. Let me just see. Where did I take that now? Okay. So I read, did I read three, I think I read, didn't I? Okay. This is from Padma Purana. If a person gives up the water emanated from the lotus feet of Lord Sri Vishnu, Charanamrita from the bathing of the Lord, and goes to other places of pilgrimage, he's like a person who gives up unlimitedly valuable jewels, desirous of obtaining a lump of mud. I mean, we can reflect on it. Sometimes we choose to do something else than take Charanamrita. Or we in Vrindavan, or we in the holy place, we rush off, we want to visit some tirtha, and we forsake the Charanamrita. Again, this is from Padma Purana. One who drinks Charanamrita, he becomes free from all kinds of diseases and all kinds of obstacles and the fear of ferocious cobras and ferocious beasts. He does not have the eyes of bad planets upon him. He becomes free from the fear of theft. What is the need for him to go to places of pilgrimage, seeing the demigods and great sages, if he has taken the water which has emanated from the body of the Supreme Lord? If he has the water which has washed the Shaligram above his head, the sun, Keshava, Lord Brahma, Shankara, become greatly happy upon him. And last one, I mean, there's many other, I'll just do one more. And this is from Padma Purana. If somebody has to go through unavoidable abominations, or if it is necessary for him to chant strong hymns as japa, silent chanting, even to that person, if he takes the water which has washed the lotus feet of the Lord, he becomes immediately purified. If someone has eaten impure foods from someone who has drunk water left by a great sinner, the sins which are derived from such eating and drinking can become nullified just by drinking the water which has emanated from the lotus feet of Lord Shri Hari. So many. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the wonderful class. I was just wondering, you know, when the pujaris are bathing the deities in the morning, so all the water is, you know, is placed in the bucket, right? And from that bucket, we only put like one spoon of the charanamrit actually into the yogurt mix, and the rest of the water is actually given to the plants outside.
Is that a thought? Is that, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's what in the Mangal transfer part two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the majority of the water actually goes to the plants, and only a spoon, like a wooden spoon of water or something, is dropped into the charanamrit. And then wouldn't it be better if the whole bucket, or I don't know, or the bucket of water is distributed to guests?
I think those plants needed more than some of us.
Yeah, sure.
No, I think, you know, even a small portion of that is so potent.
Okay.
You know, we get the benefit. And imagine, I mean, I'm just thinking, we should pray to become plants outside where they throw the charanamrita water. Every day we're getting tons of charanamrita on our head. What's the good fortune of those plants outside? Can you imagine? And this holy Tirtha, we should go bow down to those plants. Hare Krishna. Okay, I think we'll conclude there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna. Dear devotees, I just want to just make one quick announcement. This Sunday, I think between 2:30 and 3:30, we're doing the inauguration of the Winter Book Marathon. It's going to be a lovely festival. It's going to be a fantastic festival. Please be part of that. Spread the message. We want to get as many devotees part of the marathon this year. Hare Krishna.